On this episode of DC On Screen, we are talking Christopher Nolan's departure from Warner Brothers, Leslie Grace's approach to playing Batgirl, that rumored Matt Reeves Penguin prequel, and so much more, including your questions, right after these words from a bunch of possibly scurrilous individuals we do not know. But you know, their mothers swear they're fine, upstanding people. Welcome into DC On Screen episode 645. On this podcast, we share our honest opinions about the DC Comics multiverse on film and television. If it has been released, it is fair game, so beware of spoilers. I'm David C. Robertson, and this, the only man angered that the vaccine didn't give him giant balls, Jason Goss.
Angered, you say?
I got the distinct impression you were incensed.
Doesn't begin to express my emotion. There's also a lot of unknown variables here, so I was kind of hoping something maybe close to it, but yeah, that's a whole discussion to have with the wife. So
yeah. Yeah, no,
I'm just saying there was a lot of stuff on the table that might have happened, and nothing really did.
Right. You know, it reminded me of when my doctor was like, here, take this anxiety med. It will give you laser focus. And I've been taking it for like a year now, and I still catch myself wandering around in fields chasing butterflies.
Well, so, have you ever seen, hold on. When he said laser focus, have you ever seen, for instance, someone tease a dog or cat with a laser against a wall?
That's fair. But it's not the same butterfly, you know? It's
like, that shit shoots around, so I'm saying.
Yeah. All right. before we get in the news, I would like to remind you all that you can go to dconscreen.com and you can find links to our Patreon, where $5 a month gets you access to exclusive content. $1 a month gets you this episode, the weekly episodes or the bi-weekly episodes as it's been, ad-free. Mm-hmm. But you know, $5 that gets you the exclusive content and you still get the ad free shit. So that's pretty dope. There's also a donate button and a link to our merch store if you'd like to support us in other ways. And as always, thank you for any support you can throw our way. And one last thing before we get into this show.
We
love you. Last week, our good friends, Tim and Scott over at DC Film Squadcast, now DC Squadcast, announced a big change in format. They will no longer be going over the news. And as a replacement podcast for film and television reviews, they recommended us. Mm. So Tim, Scott, thank you. Your words carry a lot of weight in this fandom, honestly, and with this whole community. And with good reason. Clearly, your taste is impeccable. You're very wise.
No, in following DC is, I'm sure, what you mean there. Yeah.
No, I mean us.
Oh, yes. Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But no, of course, I will continue to listen to both of you guys as you travel down your new path of evergreen content. I wish you the very best of luck. May the wind be at your backs. And if you haven't checked those guys out, go give them a tumble, as they say.
I mean, and the wind will be at their backs, and then we'll be some straggler on the back of the ship, just kind of hanging out and watching as well.
Right, furiously masturbating into a sweat sock.
Yeah, making friends with the rats and eating a couple lemons to avoid scurvy.
This sounds like a threat. Like this is what you'll be doing. This is getting really detailed. It sounds like a plan more than anything.
Just avoiding death personally and trying to be as friendly as I can on the ship without, you know, losing track of it or causing any kind of interference.
Yeah, sure. All right. So
I've looked into this deeply.
Of course you have. I don't know how much this really affects DC at this point, but I kind of feel like it will in some ways. Christopher Nolan has left Warner Brothers after 19 years, And it looks like he's going to Universal. And I don't know how accurate this is, but there's a report going around. I think it's from THR. Said Nolan's reported demands were for his new film with Universal was a $100 million budget, $100 million on marketing, total creative control. The studio can't release another film 3 weeks before and 3 weeks after his. His film has to be in theaters for 100 plus days, and he gets 20% of the first gross. That seems excessive. It seems excessive.
Good Lord.
You know, theater's going away, so.
All right, hold on. All right. Let's go back step by step. Run the first one by me.
$100 million budget.
Okay, that's fine. Second one, though.
$100 million on marketing.
Cool. So that's a $200 million budget, but go ahead.
Uh-huh. Total creative freedom.
Mm-hmm. Carte blanche. Hard to do, but.
It's no one. Right. He's earned it. He has.
I mean, he's got a serious track record. Okay.
Studio can't release another film 3 weeks before and 3 weeks after his.
Don't know how much that'll cost him overall as far as the other showings in theaters. So let's add that to the $200 million.
Uh-huh. 100 plus
per film 100, now.
100 plus days in theaters.
Okay. That's a lot of legs. A lot of things get taken out before you ever get to 100 plus days in theater. That is 4 fucking months, man. 100 plus. I'm rounding up from the 90. Like that that's a lot of time in theaters. That's a lot of possibly wasted time in theaters and possible money that's lost, you know, replaying everything.
Yeah, and 20% of first dollar gross.
Yeah, and then 20%, okay. Hell, 20% of an $80 million opening weekend is fucking what? Off the top of my head, why am I getting this quickly? $16 million. Mm-hmm. That's...
And of course, it's going to make me happy when, I mean, you know, what is he takes 2 or 3 years to make a movie. So, you know,
there's that.
By then, so also theaters will be gone
5 years in advance for Interstellar 2.
Oh, that's never going to happen.
Prequel, I guess.
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think Interstellar anything is going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen either. I'm just saying. Of course, Interstellar to the film where it's just 2.5 hours of black because, you know, time, space, and black holes would be fun. Mm-hmm. But I don't think we're going to get that joke.
Right.
I'm just saying, like, all he's really demanded is an average budget of in excess of $200 million. If we don't add anything to it and guess, and we could guess $300 that they're kind of budgeting for that. That time frame, that earmarking of funds, all that—that's still a lot of money, man.
Yeah, I think by the time this thing is even finished, 2 or 3 years down the line, we're going to be looking at a vastly different landscape. I don't think theaters, man. I mean, just if you look at the last 2 years for in the past, like things have changed drastically. I expect. He's got a rude awakening coming to him. And, but, you know, I know several people who will, you know, enjoy seeing this on, you know, whatever it is, Peacock or whatever, man.
Yeah.
Whatever Universal owns, isn't it Peacock?
I think so. I mean.
And by the way, I apologize if I saw somebody say that earlier on Twitter and accidentally stole that from them, but.
Maybe.
People have been making fun of this all day.
Oh, I agree. My favorite joke was Tom from the Sandspence canon saying that he would love his first comedic special to be featured on Walmart Plus when that eventually happens.
Mm-hmm. And you know it will. Yeah. Well, I mean, Walmart's kind of got voodoo, right?
So. I mean, kind of, yeah. I don't think he was all that wrong.
Anyway, so I've been hearing some stuff about, Warner Brothers veering away from auteur, quote unquote, auteur directors. Mm. I don't know, man. It just looks like things are going in a strange direction. That's all I can say.
Yeah, but I mean, given some of the stuff you talked about just in the opening, I'm not sure we're getting away from Arthur.
I don't know, man.
Not necessarily.
And that might be their way of saying, like,
does get away from Arthur or go to Arthur. Like,
I think that might be a nice way of saying they're getting away from assholes.
Kind of, but like a little bit in the same way that Edgar Wright stepped away from Ant-Man. Like, it's a guy that I have a lot of respect for as far as what he does, and it didn't fit what Feige was trying to do, and you know, they parted ways, and those things can be okay.
They can be okay. But, you know, it's a little different when Nolan, you know, trashed HBO Max as the worst streaming service. And
oh, I know. Like, he's been an absolute he's been
that it is funny that he – it is – it's recently. Hilarious. It's hilarious that he signed with Universal because they do have Peacock. And that actually is the worst streaming service. Whatever. Right. We'll see.
They're taking some swings, though. Like, I'm not sure there's going to be, like, a bad streaming service necessarily going forward. I think it's going to be kind of a thing where just that's how it is. Much like cable channels were at some point, and, you know, will continue to be to some extent.
Yeah.
It's just going to be there's middling, and then there's, you know, HBOs and Showtimes or something that pop up and go, holy shit, this is premium content.
Yeah. I think the future of the film industry is streaming and not theatrical. I don't think this is a tremendous loss for Warner Brothers. However, I'm pretty sure these new cats coming in for Warner Media and Discovery, man, if I were them, I would totally be looking at Toby Emmerich and going, what did you do?
Oh, I thought you were going to say looking at an island and came in bank account so they could just vanish and not take it on.
Well, there might be that.
Fucking bail.
There might be that.
Work for Discovery, and your job previously was to, like, hunt giant squids and do Shark Week.
Uh-huh.
And occasionally,
For just a second, I thought you said hunt giant squids, and I was like, oh, it's a China squid. And then it clicked. And
I don't know. Please don't draw. Please.
And now I really want to.
I know you can. I'm asking you in advance. Please don't draw it. And if you do draw it, send it to me because, of course, I want you to draw it.
Yes. We'll see. I think you've got a big place in your office, and I asked you if you wanted me to draw something for it. I think you just told me what.
No. So. I said maybe crypto. not Johnny Squid.
and now my week has been made because I got to hear you say China Squid. Maybe it's crypto fighting a China Squid.
I mean, it will. All right, so at least do it in like the Wolfman era context, and I think we got something there.
The Wolfman era context.
It could be an iconic cover, like
You want me to do like a big George Perez Gina Squid fight?
Yeah, crypto? Yeah, you know, versus Starro kind of thing, you know.
Yeah, instead of Starro, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I can see that
appropriately.
Yeah, giant DC on screen logo at the bottom. we'll have to make a sticker because you're going to change the logo in a few weeks.
Yeah, I will.
I'm not upset about that. I like your changes.
Okay.
The fuck were you talking about before?
I don't know. Plus, we're talking about Nolan. Man, all those people that came over from Squadcast are going to be in for it, you know.
Yeah.
I know. Those guys are you know, PG-13. But not this place.
No.
This corral is not safe for work.
It's many things, but not that.
China Squid.
Yeah.
I think that's the perfect way to wrap up the Nolan conversation. China Squid.
Awesome. I feel like in about 14 seconds I'm going to remember where I was going with that, but I've been sidetracked now. And it's
just, I know you were talking about the executives who a few weeks ago they were tracking down a giant squid.
Oh, you're right. So imagine being a Discovery executive and like that's what you were doing, and then suddenly someone hands you this shit show of possible realities and a Snyder Cut. And what does that do to the whole DCEU? And you're like, what is the DCEU? And someone has to explain that to you. Uh-huh. And like, seriously, just imagine having that job and someone hands you all of this on your plate. I might jump out a window.
Well, hopefully it won't be like a situation where the
definitely like, buying some liquor.
Hopefully it won't be a situation where they're literally taking producers from documentaries that are looking for giant squid. I mean, giant squids.
Oh, I don't think it'll be that. I'm just saying so high up. Like so high up that the people that make the documentaries don't even know the names of the people that are calling the shots. There has to be someone somewhere who got handed this and said, seriously, you want me to try to wrangle that?
Yeah. I mean, like you never know. You never know. It might actually become a production thing. Like, you know, back in the late 80s when they were like, hey, we need somebody to help out the Next Generation. How about Rick Berman? He did a few nature documentaries for the Discovery Channel, literally. And then like the next 20 years are just like people fighting with Rick Berman saying, no, damn it. You don't understand science fiction.
Yeah.
Anywho. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how this is all going to play. This is weird, but hopefully they're either.
And because of the merger part, it'll be a year. I mean, it'll be cold again after it gets cold now.
Yeah. But you know,
before we really know,
hopefully they'll look at Toby Emmerich and go, you know, you kind of screwed the pooch on this one, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just want him to take the blame because I want him gone.
Oh, agreed. I mean, I'd love for someone to sit him down at some point and say, well, here's what happened. And this is your performance review.
Here's your big payout. Go away.
Mm-hmm. And here's a $3 bill. Get fucked.
appropriately following a conversation about a giant squid, the Suicide Squad,
beautiful,
is being released on Blu-ray and DVD on October 26th. Mm-hmm. And that'll be on my shelf. I enjoyed the hell out of the movie. And James Gunn has teased there will be lots of cool extras, he said, on the DVD and Blu-ray. I haven't gotten an official markdown of what all those will be, and even if I did, they'd probably just be like a bunch of titles without any explanation. So smooth with Batgirl. Leslie Grace, the lady playing Batgirl here in this HBO Max movie, talked about her approach to Barbara Gordon. She said, this is only my second role, but I'm learning from my colleagues and other friends of mine that you put a little bit of yourself into each character. And just in the bit of research that I've been doing leading into pre-production, I've learned a lot of things about Barbara that are very in line with me. She's someone who's been underestimated by even her own dad, and being the youngest kid, sometimes you're insulated from all of the tough stuff of life. And she's so eager to prove to herself and to everybody else that there's some things that she can handle. So this journey is definitely going to show me a lot of that. I feel like I'm on an endless journey of proving to myself what barriers I can break, what limits I can break for myself. And I'm excited to put a little bit of that eagerness and drive and like almost a bit of stubbornness into Barbara's character. Now, the thing, I like all that. That all sounds great. What I really liked is that she mentioned that she's the youngest kid, because how dope would it be if like her first case as Batgirl is taking down her brother?
Nice.
Like, what if they did James Gordon Senior, or not Senior, Junior? Mm-hmm. I would be so down with that. Like, you're tracking a serial killer and you find out it's your own brother. That'd be, man, that'd be great.
Oh, 100%. And there's a lot to do with that guy, that character. He needs to be incorporated somewhere. This would Absolutely. Be a really good venue.
It would. Black Mirror my ass. Let's do this.
I mean, it's also got such a detective vibe over there. Like, this would be a really good venue for that.
Agreed. And then in an interview with Entertainment Tonight, she was asked about J.K. Simmons. Mm-hmm. And she said she was freaking out about the possibility of him playing Commissioner Gordon. She says, I'm ready to learn a lot from J.K. Simmons. If you're listening, huge respect, and please play my dad. I hope you're my dad.
Feels like such a human thing. I love my dad very much. And I also kind of hope that someday I'll find out J.K. Simmons was my dad.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like these are like contradicting thoughts. I just want the two. Is that too much to ask?
Yeah, no, I don't think I could handle it. I don't think I could handle like J.K. Simmons being my dad. Like, just like, oh my God, the pressure to live up to that.
No, I feel like he and my actual dad are both understanding enough that they could help me get through this.
You mean life?
Yeah. This in general and the confusing nature of having both of them as my father.
Fair enough.
And in this scenario, I assume biological for reasons that would have to be magic.
Yeah. Like your dad was like, you know, guess what? He's my lover. And then JK would be like, you came out of my pee-pee.
Yeah.
And that would be weird. Your
mom was involved.
And disconcerting.
We'll have to, it'll be a whole thing. Yeah.
You're all already on the phone with Supernatural with Ashley Flowers. Right. Have I got a story?
Yeah. And,
what a scoop.
12 seconds later, I'd turn to JK and go, this can't be true. I can't grow that mustache.
But I do have pictures of Spider-Man.
Yeah, I do have, I do. And, it's mostly me just, you know, searching in rural areas for possible slings. But okay, so it's mostly just large spiders and the webs, the orb spiders, if we're being right. But
I have a lot of those around here.
Yeah, but I'm really open to actually finding an actual Spider-Man, which I feel like gives us some kinship. Also, how do I grow that glorious mustache?
Well, a lady from the props department just comes over and sticks it on your face.
Yeah.
Anyway.
My new mommy.
I don't think we talked about this. Did we talk about the first look at Aquaman's new costume for the Lost Kingdom?
We haven't.
But, I mean, it's blue.
Yeah. So I'm already into it.
Yeah, it's the stealth suit. It looks like it looks a lot like the old one that he had at the end of the last one. Mm-hmm. The last one looked very comics accurate. This one just looks like that, but blue. So, all right.
Sounds like something looks like something I'd wear if I was going to try to sneak up on like a shark.
Yeah. And then they also released, a picture of Orm and he just looks exiled as hell. I don't know. He's got a long beard, long hair, nice. Shirtless. I sent that to you in the chat here so you can see it, but
shit, I hadn't seen that one.
Yeah, I sent you both of them, but I am down. I have to admit, I would like a little more time, and maybe they'll do it. Maybe they'll do it. I'd like a little more time with the one that he had at the very end of Aquaman, just because it was like, oh, look at that, it's new. Let's do that for like half a movie, and then they could do the stealth suit, and I'm good. If I'm being honest, like, and I haven't seen an Aquaman costume yet that trumps the '90s like metal straps with the freaking hook. That's my favorite. So the '90s were a glorious time for me. That was when I really delved in deep into DC. So. Hook hand and metal straps are my favorite Aquaman.
It was a crazy time, but you know, some of that shit hit right.
And you know, and then like in the early aughts, he got his like he replaced the hook with like I don't know like a hand made of water that he controlled with his brain. You know, this I dig that too.
Oh yeah, no, that was some badass stuff.
Alrighty. Okay, so Megan Fox. Oh, God. Her assistant posted a story saying that they are expecting a call from the studio for the role of Poison Ivy. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this on the show before. Please, God, no. Oh, my God, please, no. And every time we talk about this, I always get like someone messaging me and telling me about all the problems she's gone through in Hollywood. And I'm sorry for that. I am. But I don't think she's a good actor. She's just, I don't like her. And let's be honest, I don't think she can, I don't think she could stand toe-to-toe with Margot Robbie. Margot's just too good.
I don't know. I mean, maybe she could play up. I don't know. As more time goes by, I'm more open to it.
Really? That's, you know, I get less open to it. Now, look, if they do the thing and it turns out she's just fantastic and somehow, you know, she goes, you know, the whole movie without just staring into space with her mouth open for no reason, and she actually can pull it off, I'll be happy to give her that and say, okay, well, shit, Megan Fox from Poison Ivy.
That would be a win, but, you know, you're also giving basically the qualifications of, like, a pug.
Well, that's all I've seen out of her so far.
So I feel like she can probably pull that off.
I mean, I watched the first two Transformer movies, and I saw her run on New Girl, and no. But, you know.
I don't know. I think cinematically, I feel like I've spent like maybe 2 hours with her. I'm not sure.
No.
I don't really have a qualified opinion on it. I think I've just seen her in like that Transformers movie that I actually did watch, and I can't even tell you which number that was.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. They're all kind of shit. They're the same.
The actual transforming looked amazing.
No, I don't even like that. Because it's really? Just like, no, because like in the Transformers movies, mm-hmm. like they're always just like transforming and they all just look like liquid metal and they're fighting and I can't tell what the hell is going on or which one is which. And then the only time I know which
transforming itself looked fantastic.
I mean, good. I mean, I guess good special effects if that's what they were going for. But, you know, I only could tell which transformer was which when, you know, one of them would pop up ahead and say something vaguely racist. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's the hip hop transform. Okay.
I mean, there's that. But I mean, it wasn't like when Optimus Prime showed up, I was like, I don't know who this is.
Right. No, when they're standing still.
We're 80s kids.
Yeah. No, when they're standing still, I know who they are.
Oh, okay.
It's just when they're fighting and transforming, it's just like,
I think you also may be like even more blind than me to the car aspect of the whole thing. Like they were different cars when they started transforming.
Right, but I am
so fucking bad with cars. But you're worse.
Right, but I do know that they only did like it was only like whatever, whatever General Motors. Oh, yeah. They changed the type of car to only like one brand of car.
Oh, sure. But, yeah. You know, before that, as far as I understood, it was like badly compiled, you know, McDonald's, Happy Meals and, you know, good for its time, but block style animation Transformers cartoon that I would watch occasionally growing up. So,
and that was all made. They made the toys
first. I didn't watch that later and go, wait a second, that was supposed to be a Dodge.
Yeah. And those were all the toys came first and they came from Japan from like several different toy companies. Mm-hmm. And the toys that made us, y'all, you got to go check that out. It's such a great documentary series. I love it.
I've never watched it, but I like it.
It's deeply fascinating about how so many of these animated shows came about because toys came first, you know, obviously. So last bit of like actual movie news.
Mm-hmm.
Super Pets, and I'm really excited about this, and I can't wait to see what he does. Mark Maron is playing Lex Luthor in DC's League of Super Pets.
I'm in.
Yeah.
In terms of things that I'm just excited that I can enjoy with my daughter. This is out of anything's league, the thing that I'm excited about.
Yeah.
You could shut the rest of it down and at least I'd have this movie that I could watch with my daughter.
Yeah. Like I wished my only wish is that some like Mark Maron could just write his part as Lex Luthor because I just want to hear Lex Luthor yelling at a dog about how he can't wrap his brain around Captain Beefheart.
Oh, that, I mean, that's going to be a real thing.
It will not be a real thing.
Oh, for sure. That, I mean, that, and it'll be, you know, during this movie that Luthor is going to lose, like, he's going to lose a series of cats. Like, if he doesn't yell after a cat named Boomer, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, I'd take that. All right, before we get into TV news, we're going to head to break real quick, and we'll be right back. All right, and we're back. I took a little tinkle, did you?
Probably.
Probably.
I don't keep track of these things.
Don't you?
And just how?
I've seen your tinkle diary. he's got a picture of a vagina squid on the front.
Yeah.
Anyway, HBO Max, according to Variety, is developing a Penguin spinoff series, spun off from Matt Reeves' The Batman. And apparently Farrell is in talks to reprise his role. A deal is not currently in place. The series would follow Penguin's rise to power in Gotham's criminal underworld, with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Impulse alum Lauren LeFranc attached to write the script. Matt Reeves, who is directing and co-writing The Batman, would executive produce, along with the film's producer, Dylan Clark. I've seen a lot of pushback about this. Some people saying, hey, just put out the damn movie before you start making so many spinoffs.
Oh, bollocks.
And then a lot of Gotham fans are mad because they're like, we already saw this. I'm like, yeah, you didn't see it this way.
Yeah, no, who cares?
Yeah, I'll take.
Oh, I'm sorry, you're mad about more content? I'm sorry, fuck off.
They want more of that thing, that one thing they liked, though. They don't. They don't want new things.
Look, I'm
down.
I can even appreciate wanting different things in certain ways, but like, come on, man. We are at the mercy of these companies that make the things. I'm interested in Colin Farrell's version of this character. Let's see what we got going on and then get mad about it.
No version of me would say no to a Colin Farrell playing Penguin in any kind of show.
No.
Let's do this.
I'm only mad at the premature rejection part. Like, just let's see what we got going on, man. Let's do this and then have opinions.
Yeah. So Peacemaker. Mm-hmm. I hate this
in advance.
MovieScope, whatever the hell this is. Hey, go ahead and mark MovieScope down. You remember that folder I told you guys to make a few weeks ago? Just like with you know, we got this covered and all the other bullshit. Just go ahead and put MovieScope in there.
Sure.
MovieScope says that there's going to be, that Bane is going to be in Peacemaker.
Naturally.
James Gunn said, no, he's not. You're wrong. He actually responded to them and said, no, your exclusive scoop is incorrect.
Yeah. He shut down a couple though.
And like Grace Randolph, we know her, came out and said like, okay, so technically he's not in it, but he will be in the last scene and he has one line. And James Gunn's like, no, that would mean he was technically in it. And I am telling you, he is not.
No, also that thing, no. That thing, so, is yeah. Before? No, still no.
No, Bane. If you're just hanging on the words of MovieScope and Grace Randolph, just dust yourself off because James Gunn says no. Uh-huh. Aquaman King of Atlantis, the animated series, gets a new synopsis. The 3-part animated miniseries, it is a miniseries, so thank your stars for those of you who are angry about the animation style.
Sure.
Begins with Aquaman's first days on the job as King of Atlantis, and he's got a lot of catching up to do. Luckily, he has his two royal advisors to back him up, Vulko the Scholar and Mera, the water-controlling warrior princess.
Sure.
Between dealing with unscrupulous surface dwellers, elder evils from beyond time, and his own half-brother who wants to overthrow him, Aquaman is going to have to rise to the challenge and prove to his subjects and to himself that he's the right man for the Trident.
Sure.
And it's executive produced by James Wan. and Adam Monsters, Michael Clear, and Rob Hackett, and Sam Register. Dude, I saw they put out a trailer for this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I laughed my dick off a few times.
Oh, I think it'll be a lot of fun.
When like he goes to sit down on the throne, and he's like squishing around in the throne. He's like, "Can we get a different throne?" No. He can't find a way to sit in the throne. I don't. It looked funny to me.
It did look uncomfortable.
It did. It looked uncomfortable, but it also looked like a really funny trailer. So
sure. I a little bit agree with the animation style thing. It looks a little bit like a Rick and Morty Salvia dream and a Starburst commercial had a baby.
Mm-hmm.
But it also kind of looks good in its own way. And fuck it, styles are styles. Just watch and go.
Yeah, I'm good.
The content itself looked pretty fun. I also particularly love kind of Orm just charging into the room and just going, "Arr!"
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of like the old black and white Popeye cartoons, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, which I like those. So
I just like the bad guy just charging in and being a bad guy. Arr!
Yeah. Yep.
Like no ambiguation, no anti-hero bullshit. Just arg, here to fuck you up.
I'll be honest. It does look like something that I might need to, you know, be high for, but
I'm not. I sure won't be. Heard it.
I won't be. But anyway, Batwoman. They released a trailer. By the way, season 3 is coming out October 13th.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. They released a trailer. Not much there. It looks like a Batwoman trailer. It, you know, Alice shenanigans.
Yeah. I feel like I'm on a deadline now is all.
Yeah, you are. You always were.
Yeah, I know.
You always were.
It's been a rough few months time-wise.
Yeah, so I am neither.
Work has been something.
Yeah, I know, man. I'm sorry.
Enjoying the challenge, but no, time has been short.
No, we're not supposed to be challenged in our lives. No. Ethan Hawke, man. Mm-hmm. Ethan Hawke is going to play Batman in the Batwheels cartoon.
Nah, I like that.
Yeah, man. I don't know. I think it was the Before Sunset trilogy that got me, that really hooked me on Ethan Hawke. He was fine. He's a good novelist. Weirdly, that's the thing that I know him for the most. He writes books.
That is weird. Yeah.
Yeah. He's good though too. But you know, he, you know, helped write the Before Sunset trilogy as well. So you know, whatever. I like him. He's set to voice Batman and Batwheels. And they're also going to have Duke Thomas and Cassandra Cain as Robin and Batgirl.
Mm-hmm.
And of course the show will focus on Cobra Kai's Hawk, Jacob Bertrand,
mm-hmm,
who is voicing the Batmobile, and all the other Bat vehicles are sentient as well.
Of course.
This show, I mean, whatever, man. Bringing in the little kids, I don't know, that all that sounds cool to me too. Hell yeah, I'll watch Cars, but in Gotham, sure.
I recently developed so many problems with Cars.
Yeah, but you know, they were given sentience by the Bat computer, so it's not like Pixar's Cars. I just sit around going like, what the hell happened in this world?
That's my main issue, is there seem to be a lot of detailed moving parts, and who the fuck made them?
Mm-hmm.
I've but never here, seen any cars with fingers.
But here we actually have Batman, Robin, Batgirl. And, you know, a very straightforward look. Here's the thing. Sentient Bat computer,
mm-hmm,
made the vehicle sentient. So I'm good.
There being a Batman in the world somewhere at least gives me the idea that maybe, you know, something got back-ended and engineered.
I feel like they're making a cross between Knight Rider and Batman.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. No, this is Kit Batman. And I'm good with that. I'm not hating on the show. I just as a sidebar, me and Cars have had a lot of questions we've had to ask you so recently, and Cars hasn't had a lot of answers.
Yeah, they need those answers.
The fuck did that come from?
Where's the gasoline come from? There are restaurants in the background sometimes.
Who I know.
Who's there? Why?
You know what? This just reminds me of that time you and I were discussing at length the reality of the Lego movie. And your wife just goes, are you guys really discussing a cartoon this deeply?
And we
were like, yes.
I believe we both turned our head and snapped and went, yes.
Why?
And then without waiting for her response, continued our discussion.
Well, it's just as well, because like as when we said yes, she got off the couch and just walked away shaking her head.
Yeah, yeah.
One of my favorite memories.
Yeah. And to be fair, later I asked her, like, you okay? She's like, you're just doing you. It's just, okay.
And then Dave comes over and there's two of you.
And we hugged and it was fine. She understands.
Batman Year One is getting a 4K commemorative edition. This is the 10th anniversary of Batman Year One. If you haven't seen that one, it's a great one. Bryan Cranston is Gordon, Lieutenant Gordon, and it's based on the Frank Miller and David, how do you say his name? Mazzucchelli?
Sure.
Comic. So yeah, it's going to have a fully remastered version of the film, a newly created bonus feature, reinventing Gordon. It's going to get a simultaneous release on disc and digital starting November 9th. 2021, and it will also include a DC Universe movies flashback looking at Batman Soul of the Dragon, Batman the Long Halloween Part 1, and Part 2. So, you know, it's a fantastic little film. Bruce Wayne is played by Ben McKenzie, who played Gordon on Gotham.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
Oh, you mean that guy from Orange County?
I believe it was called The OC.
The OC, yeah, you're right.
All right. We've got some questions from listeners. Loyal, loving listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Henry Hello. Cooper over on Twitter says, did you see the NVIDIA game leak? Arkham Knight Remastered, Man of Steel game, and freaking Injustice 3. Give me Constantine, Crypto, Power Rangers, and Scooby Gang, and I'll spend however much money I need to. I saw something of it. But we stopped covering that on this show.
Agreed. Because it did get weird. And also, I avoid leaks in general.
I do, too. And for the longest time, there's been nothing but leaks. Like, I don't believe any of it.
And some of it was just weird rewarding, like, Reddit threads or something. But that being said, every word I just heard, as far as like what was involved in that.
Uh-huh.
I don't just mean fuck you, take my money. I mean, would you like access to my bank account?
Yeah, no, I would love
to play. I'll give you the routing number and you just go from there.
Yeah. Like I mean, that's you. I stopped playing games. I just can't afford it.
Oh, that's a whole thing too. I mean, I'll have to get a credit card in order to actually buy the hardware for it at this point. I don't have games in my life anymore, right this second.
Yeah.
I cycle though. I'll be like a hardcore gamer for like 3 years and then I'll just drop off for like 5 years.
Yeah, you were a hardcore gamer the entire time we lived together.
Yeah, yeah. And I can still talk games pretty extensively when I'm talking about stuff I know. But I at this rate, I don't know. I've also never had like a toddler while I was trying to be a gamer.
Right.
Well, that's not true. I did go through another period where I like replayed all the Arkham games recently on computer. No. Not even true at all. God, that was a complete lie. I taught her how to play Batman for a second there. I just completely forgot a portion of my background for a second.
Sounds right.
I haven't been a console owner for a while, and that is my preferred gaming format. So that's different for me. But I like everything they said. Like an NVIDIA leak in general kind of excites me. But just the words Krypton alone or crypto alone. You just go ahead and send me like a phishing email and I'll respond.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think we talked about Fandom last year. you said, I believe there were several strings of curses, and you said you were going to have to get whatever console let play Gotham Knights and
Suicide Squad kill
the Justice League.
That's the one. Yeah.
Yeah. Which those aren't out yet, so you've got a minute.
I do have a minute.
You've got a minute. It's not that I'm not excited about that stuff. It's just like I can't let myself really.
Well, and you lose interest with video games very quickly.
I do.
I tend to get pissed and decide like, no, I'm going to devote the next several nights of my life to beating this thing.
Yeah, and I get very bored very quickly. I tend to just, I'm fields and butterflies, man.
Yeah, and I mean, it's also one of those where like, I don't know. It didn't like pique your pride in a way where you're like, no, I'm going to fuck this thing up. That's what it does to me. You're more like, oh no, that's just, I'm out. Good. One of the funniest things I've ever seen is you trying to play the Star Trek game with us, with me. Was it the Into Darkness video game or something?
No, like it was just the regular Star Trek game.
Just the regular Star Trek?
They only made the one, really.
Which was glitchy as balls.
Uh-huh.
And watching you try to play through glitches on top of the actual game mechanisms, which were bad.
Yes.
It was one of the worst games I've ever played as far as like, this is a finished product. Are you fucking kidding me?
it was real bad.
It was bad. And, I mean, parts of it good and a lot of fun, but, that was a poor example of a game. And watching you try to do that, my favorite was, you could revive people, you know, like you would in, a lot of games. And, watching you try to, scoot around and still be able to shoot people while you were technically dead. Was one of the funniest fucking things I've ever seen. And then being able to reproduce that while you scooted around and shot lizard people.
It was so
still brings my heart joy.
It's like you're hanging upside down out of the top of the friggin' level. You're just like hanging out from under, you're just hanging out of the ceiling. And I'm like dead on the floor, like scooching around shooting lizards. I mean, it was stupid. It was.
Yeah.
Did we even finish that game?
We did. After much consternation and a couple of, I guess, lucky guesses. My favorite was the episode where we were supposed to shoot an oncoming ship that was so far in the distance and had nothing to it. So, like, eventually, I think I just hit enough random buttons that we hit it.
Yeah.
And got I don't past even, that little level.
I don't even think they tried to replicate that level anywhere else in the game. It was just there.
It was just something where you're supposed to like fire at an incoming ship and it's just in the distance and then eventually it gets to you and shoots you. And that happened about 107 times before I think randomly I hit a button that actually shot it instead.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite though was where you were trying to jump between the gravity fields, which was weirdly one of the episodes they designed, episodes I keep saying that. Anyway, one of the levels they designed really well was the one where you're like on the outside of the ship and jumping between, you know, pieces of exterior ship with gravity boots and stuff. And like up and down and sideways keeps changing though is the problem.
Yeah, no, that was, I've played Spider-Man games with no problem.
Yeah, this, that did not suit you at all. You were not a fan.
I was nauseous.
You were ready to break a series of electronics.
Yeah, like I could not figure out, like I have no sense of direction. I'm terrible. I couldn't figure out what the hell was going on in this game. It was
bad. We got to the point where trying to beat that level alone, I would just be like, hit A right now.
And I'm like, it's an Xbox. There's no A.
No, it's an Xbox. There is an A on an Xbox.
Is there?
Yeah.
I don't remember. It's PlayStation. Right, shapes on the PlayStation. Sorry. Yeah. That'd see, this like, is how far removed I am from gaming.
It could be like X on a PlayStation. I'm not sure. It's been a while.
Fair enough. All right. Stu Little.
Mm-hmm.
Did Eclipso get the greatest CWDC villain entrance or what? I am behind, so I couldn't tell you. I'm God, so sorry, I Stu.
I am very sorry. We will answer you at some point.
I'm only like a week behind on Stargirl, but I'm enough behind that I cannot answer this question.
I'm but super behind.
I will take your word for it, Stu.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
like to the point that today someone asked me, like, how have you not seen that show? And I said, first of all, I haven't been watching. Second of all, do you know how far I am behind on the CW right now? Go fuck yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That was a conversation I had with a real human today.
Oh, that's sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Henry Cooper again says, have you seen Invincible? What did you think?
Lovely. And yes, more please.
I have seen like the first two or three episodes.
How have you not seen everything, Dave?
I know. Well, the show is a bit of a slog.
No, actually, okay. I'm exiting for, sarcasm now.
For
no.
me, it is. It's okay. It's if it could all be like, you know, as riveting as the last like 5 minutes of the first episode.
Oh, it'll get there.
Maybe it will. I just, you know, I'm watching it with my wife. We're, you know, we're not quite feeling it yet. Like, I've read the book. I've read all, everything they're doing right now. And I liked the book so much more. So, you know, I mean, it's fine. It's, I just haven't gotten to a place where I'm like, hit the next button. Let's do this. Let's go to the next thing. I'm not there yet.
I mean, that's fair though. I mean, like given that, you know, the source material, I can jive with that a little bit better.
Yeah. It's a little disconcerting watching the show and knowing what is going to happen.
Yeah.
And maybe they, you know, change it up a little bit and do something a little different.
Yeah.
But you know,
I mean, yes and no.
Yeah. It's a little hard for me to, you know, get into right now for some reason. Stu Little again.
Mm-hmm. Hello what, again.
Hi, Stu. What DC property or character who never gets talked about would you like to see a film or TV show for?
Animal Man.
Animal Man. That's always your answer.
Yes.
And I do feel like we answer this question every like 3 months or so.
Sure.
I've
had different answers, and sometimes you know, Warner Brothers answers the call, I guess. But for now, yeah. I'm going to go with Animal Man today.
I would love an anthology series hosted by Space Cabbie.
Hell yeah.
And I would, even if it was an anthology, I would love to see just a show about Space Cabbie. Like,
nice.
They've, you know, in the comics, they hinted at certain things, you know, about his backstory, but we've never gotten a whole lot of play with that. I would love to see the adventures of Space Cabbie. And, you know, while we're at it, you cast, you know, like Jay Baruchel or somebody. Mm. Or, you know, I don't know, somebody. Somebody interesting. I would love to see Challengers of the Unknown really dug into.
Nice.
I mean, they were the freaking inspiration for Fantastic Four. Let's do that shit. And it's a Jack Kirby property, so let's just get some like a weird wacky adventures you know from the Challengers.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I don't ever hear anybody talk about Aztec anymore. He was created by Grant Morrison and Mark Millar, and like I think he was a more successfully done version of Hawkman in a lot of ways. Like
I mean, you're not wrong. I don't know when I heard that name last.
Oh, I mean, well, he died in like World War III, in the World War III storyline.
Yeah, I'm saying I don't know when.
I mean, he's never talked about. That fits the criteria that Stu laid down.
I don't know that you and I in our idle discussions have talked about that dude.
We have.
Fuck. I mean, to your point, I don't remember.
Yeah, no, it was like literally just me going like, ah, man, why haven't we gotten more Aztec?
That's a good point. Yeah.
I was like, he was the next big thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Aztec was a neat character, you know, with, you know, he had like sort of like a reincarnated thing where he had like just years of like training in his brain, and he was like trying to receive the spirit of an Aztec god or some shit. Like,
of course, yeah.
But he was a dope character. I liked him.
There's going to be, it's one of those things where, like, give it time. There was a, DC tried to do a lot of new characters for a second there, and honestly, like, none of them worked out. And this, just a few years ago, I mean, I know this happens all the time, but there was this, you know, New Age of DC or whatever, New Age of Heroes, I think is what they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like Damage, who could actually like hurt Superman and stuff like that. And yeah, it was fun. Sideways was actually my favorite character of it, who could just straight up, you know, yeet between fucking universes or whatever.
Yeah.
He was fun. Had like a real, it was a very comical character. Mm-hmm. But there was this whole like Immortal Men thing that was happening. That was like, I have every issue of that until it got canceled. It was actually way better than you would have expected given the time. That's one of those where I think, you know, give it time. This is actually going to be a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, not a real thing, just a thing that someone brings up later.
Yeah. And I know it doesn't, I can't really say it counts because, I mean, he was on The Flash and then Legends of Tomorrow, but man, I'd love to see a proper Firestorm show.
Oh, yeah, that would be good. And I don't care which combination of the two minds.
I mean, I'm a big fan of Ronnie Raymond. You know, I always felt like the old 70s comics and shit, like the 70s and 80s comics, he was like, he felt very Peter Parker to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't help that, like, at the time in Spider-Man... Spider-Man would often just like have like a floating head of Uncle Ben around him, like telling him shit. In the Firestorm comic, he had like Professor Stein floating, like a head floating above him, telling him shit.
Well, yeah.
And they were both college students.
The Jiminy Cricket effect.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, yeah, man, let's do that. And let's, you know, this time. So let's do. And look, he doesn't have to be a white Ronnie Raymond. You can make him whatever. Mm-hmm. But. You know, just to be clear, I'm not being that guy.
It's not about the casting here. Just, you know.
Character. Yeah, no. Yeah, I just like the, he was kind of a quirky, let me make some comments and shit and have Professor Stein yelling at me while I'm, you know, cracking wise.
Is it okay to want to see Guy Gardner as one of the, like, underdeveloped characters?
Oh, my God. Yes. But we're going to get that. We're going to get that because they're doing the Green Lantern Corps show.
I mean, I don't know. And I hope for the most there. I'm just saying, is it okay to want him there just to see him punched?
Always.
Over and over again.
Always. But I actually really like Guy Gardner, so.
I kind
of
do.
As a comedic foil, of course. But yeah, I kind of like him as a character, though, too.
He's got some redeeming qualities.
I liked when he owned that bar, you know?
Yeah.
I liked when he had the yellow ring. He was called Warrior, you know?
Yeah, the thing that cracks me up the most, though, is like, hey, he's gone through some you know, character design changes like everyone else. But the one that I remember just burned into the back of my brain is the bowl cut split down the middle.
Uh-huh.
This kind of like grunge era fucking haircut. And dear God, I want to see that represented just for a second.
I understand.
Mostly because at some point I had a bowl cut because, dear God, that was what was popular and you know, in our like little league all-star team at the time, and you know, you had to go with it, right?
No, I knew so many people who had that stupid haircut and I hated it. But they made fun of me because I had the Conan O'Brien pompadour.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I just had this straight-ass blonde hair. I mean, we just all kind of cut it off and did that thing.
Yeah, they gave me shit for looking like I was from the 50s, and I'm like, at least I don't look like freaking Toadstool from Mario.
Yeah. Now, I mean, I only got it for so long, and then I think it was like 6 months later where I had like the baseball to the head brain injury thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I did not get to keep that for very long.
Yeah. Well, see, that was... Silver lining of that. I was bald
with a scar for a minute. So,
yeah. Well, yeah, that was, you know, fun. Chicks like that.
I don't know if chicks do. I've always kept the scar part as, because now I have, you know, my hair's down on my shoulders. So,
Damn hippie.
It's been down on my shoulders a few times, especially since then. And I keep thinking, you know, if I ever just had to go to prison, I would just have someone. I would beg the person taking me there to shave my head so I had a fighting chance because I have a nice scar on the side. And maybe someone would accidentally and wrongly think I could actually handle myself.
Yeah.
And just not fuck with me.
Just tell them, like, yeah, my mom did this with a sharpened cigarette. Like, what? Yeah. What does that even mean? What is a sharpened cigar? You don't want to find out.
Yeah, you should have seen what I sharpened. What? I thought. One of us ain't here anymore.
Don't mess with him. He's crazy.
And then the guard chimes in like, Goss, your mom's here.
God damn it.
Oh, God. Juice over on Patreon says, I'd love to know what y'all think about the comics that Reeves revealed were his inspiration for the Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were to make your own Batman movie, what four comics would be the inspiration for you? Now, Reeves, you know, they're even putting out a box set of this. We're talking about Batman: The Long Halloween, Darwin Cook's Batman Ego and Other Tales, and Frank Miller and David Mazzucchelli's Batman Year One.
Of course.
Those were the inspiration for the Reeves movie. Right. I think those are all fine. Just how do you not have those as your inspirations?
Oh, no. That's deeply, that's core material.
Mm-hmm. That said, I think I'd go a different, I don't know that I'd go a different way. It's like All-Star Batman and Robin the Boy Wonder. No, Dave.
No, Dave.
I think the thing I'm most excited, to me, like The Long Halloween and Year One are the really easy, no shit graphic novels that you would call on for inspiration.
Yeah, but they're like,
I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just, oh my damn, yeah.
No, of course. I like, there's a you know, maybe half a dozen or so. You know, you could have a lot of fucking pointless and also fun arguments about which ones would be like the six that, like, if you were given the charge to write a Batman script, like, stuff you should read before you even get to do it.
Right.
And those would be on the list, I think.
Yeah, no, I think so. The thing I'm most excited about, though, is and interested in is Darwin Cook's Batman Ego and Other Tales.
I like that being included a lot.
I'm very interested to see what he's talking about. What exactly from that carries over to the Batman? For me personally, if I was making a look, I honestly, if I were making a Batman movie, I don't know that, like, I've been a fan since 1989. Burton's shit would be an inspiration. The Adam West shit would be an inspiration to some degree. Like, Batman animated series is probably like the biggest thing. Like, I loved every, I loved Batman v Superman. I loved, you know, Snyder's take on the, on the Batman character. So it there's so many things, like, as far as the comics go, that it would be like I loved Grant Morrison's take on Batman. Like, I loved that he was more of like a, you know, dark, vengeful 007 type. Like, I'm a fan of the Bat God version, where he's just sort of like got a contingency plan for everything. And, you know, deep dick, you know, Dark Knight detective, stuff. I love Frank Miller's Dark Knight Returns. I love Long Halloween. I love Dark Victory. God, I don't know, man. I love Court of Owls. I love Zero Year. I love... There would be a little bit of everything mixed in, I think.
I mean, I'm going to disagree with you if you say something, but so far, no. It's covering it pretty well.
I mean, I don't think I could pick four.
Yeah, that'd be hard.
Yeah, it would just be cherry picking like the best bits out of everything that I like and just sort of trying to form a story around it. That would be, right. You know, probably the most difficult task.
Oh, for sure.
I don't know how I could do it. Like, and I haven't really, like, there's like zero possibility of it happening. So I haven't like sat down and like, you know, etched out a script or anything or an outline.
Right.
But,
no, I mean, if someone gave me enough money to sit down and do it, then I can come up with that, but.
Oh yeah, we could.
It's, it ain't happened.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you guys honestly should have seen like some of the days where me and Jason were living together, or you should have heard it at least, where we're just like sitting there, Patton Oswalt style, just rattling off, you know, plots for like Batman stories that you've never heard. You've never seen this before. This is Dave and Jason's Batman.
We still have specifically two that I think were genuinely good. Well, three even.
I remember three or four that I was just like, damn, what are we doing with our lives?
I know, but what we were doing
was... These are so good.
What we were doing was sitting around fucking off and drinking like 7 gallons of milk. And
that's true.
I'm not sure they're worth anything, but to us, they sounded good.
Right. At the time, we might look at them now and go, eh.
I still remember those stories. Uh-huh. I still think they're pretty fun, but...
Yeah.
I would outsource them to someone with more talent for that. Like, if I, like, even the, you know, the story concepts we have, I'd be like, man, if I could just pick a writer and put it in their hands, I'm sure that would come out much better.
Mm-hmm.
You would also obviously accept the reality that we could take our story concept and put it in anyone's hands and they would go, oh, okay, that's cute. Please stop.
Yeah. I find that I am not likable. I don't know if it's something about my face. I don't know what it is. Nothing I've ever done has ever taken off. Nothing I've ever done has been received well.
Never hit that trajectory, you know?
Yeah. I feel that, you know, people react to me generally in anger.
I mean, I like you very much, but I mostly talk to you.
That's true. I'm very thankful for you because you're like one of my only friends that I met as an adult who doesn't just feel saddled with me since childhood. It's like, he annoys me, but I grew up with him. So no, we were adults when we met.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I kind of feel like there's a lot of comic books that I would, you know, snag from. So I can't say four. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Juice. I'm sorry.
It's rough. It's a whole list.
Very much. That's all I've got for this episode, man. We can call it if you'd like.
Yeah, let's call it.
Thank you so much for listening to DC On Screen. You can find every episode at DCOnScreen.com, as well as the links to our Patreon and all of those other things. And if you want to follow my art, you can follow me at on Instagram at Drawing with Dave. Hopefully I can, you know, conjure up like an actual website or something, or maybe like a newsletter or something someday. But as of now, I'm just kind of failing at life. So I'm also on DeviantArt under David C. Robertson. I don't know, man. Or Twitter at David C. Robertson. The show tweets at DC On Screen over on Twitter. What do you have to? Do you have anything to pimp?
Yeah, you can follow my art at In Your Nightmares.
Yeah.
.dreamscape / IG.
It's not real, y'all. Don't follow that. I have no idea what that will lead to. It's like satanic rituals or something.
Possibly. No, if anything, I could probably give you one of those if you give me a little bit of time to do some reading.
No. Well, I mean, y'all can DM him privately for that shit.
Yeah.
He's on Twitter at DuckDuckGoss if you'd like to get a hold of some satanic rituals.
I have some books.
I know you do.
Do a little bit of research.
I know you have those books. They creep me out.
Yeah. Sorry. I believe in nothing of this shit. Just a huge fan of the paranormal.
I do believe some of that shit. I'm like,
October is all year round for me, y'all.
So the last time I was in your office, I looked up and I was like, oh God, what is that? Oh no, that's a Welcome to Night Vale thing. Okay. That creepy eye watching me. Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, that's semi-regular given the circumstance.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much for listening again. And until next time, keep some DC on your screen.
Bye.
Our intro music is by Jason Goss and Michael Shackelford. Michael's band, Galactic Engineers of Magnetic Sounds, or GEMS, can be found on SoundCloud and Bandcamp. Visit DCOnScreen.com to find our Patreon, merch, contact information, and every episode of the show for free, including crossovers we've done with other podcasts. DC OnScreen is a maladjusted production. For more from me and Jason, including sketch comedy, vlogs, parodies, and our improvised web series Hey Guy, visit maladjusted.tv.
Are you maladjusted?